Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Full Coverage, a podcast by Beauty Addicts for Beauty Addicts. We're your hosts. I'm professional makeup artist Harriet Hadfield, and we've got the lovely unprofessional beauty junkie, Lindsay Kelk.
Hello.
And we feel like we should address where we are right now, because obviously we came to you from Vegas last time, and we're currently in a man cave, more specifically Lindsay's boyfriend's brewing garage.
Yeah, it's a storage space underneath our apartment full of brew equipment, a kickboxing kick bag, and some suitcases.
Yeah, and we have the garage door open, so we're feeling all kinds of fancy right now. And yeah, you there may be some background noise, we're aware of that, but it was this or no podcast. Yeah. And we wanted to do it.
Background noise, buses, motorbikes, helicopters.
We've had it all so far. The fridge, the brewing fridge,
yeah,
is humming.
Fridge. Some passing dogs were quite near a dog park. From a 5-star suite in Las Vegas
to the brew garage. Yeah, so we're just keeping it real. And we just want to say as well, guys, thank you so much for all your support so far. We're really loving doing these podcasts. Make sure you keep all your questions coming in, because it's nice each week if we have anything you guys want us to talk about. And again, that's just at Full Coverage Pod. And I think we should start off, as always, with some new news.
New news.
We still don't have a jingle. We're working on
one
that.
One day. And I want them to be like really 80s and lame.
Yeah. I want it to be like you could imagine us wearing Lycra.
Yeah. Possibly multicolored, like the Green Goddess.
Like something you see that you send your friends on Facebook.
Oh, nice.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that, and with a headband.
Well, we've got some very exciting pieces. One that I think will actually be one of my highlights of the week, but I think I'll let you intro it, Lindsay, because you're always good at explaining these things.
Why, thank you. I don't know if that's true, but I'll take it. A couple of weeks ago now, which is bonkers, because this year it's flying by.
Yeah.
Flying by. I went to Kate Somerville. Which is both a person, a person, a brand, and a place.
Oh,
madness!
I didn't know that.
Well, I went to the Kate Somerville skin clinic in West Hollywood. It's on Melrose. It's in Melrose Place.
It's very nice. I've been there before. I've had a facial there. It's beautiful.
So I went there to meet with Kate herself, because she is a person as well as a brand, and she introduced us to some of her new products that are coming out for this spring summer. And there are three I think we were shown all together, and one is a moisturizer, which is super spendy, and I'm trying that out because I wouldn't want to. I think it's $250, and I don't want to sit here and tell you about something that's $250 and
without
only
properly testing it.
Yeah, it's only available in the States, and until I know for sure that I would say spend $250 on this, we're not going to talk about it. But the two things that I do want to talk about is, so there is the Wrinkle Warrior Eye Cream, which is an extension of the Wrinkle Warrior line that launched this, the original Wrinkle Warrior face cream launched this January. And it sold out in Sephora in like 10 seconds.
Oh, wow.
It sold out right away, which was really interesting. It's a serum moisturizer hybrid. I just didn't get on with it personally for my skin, because my skin's quite dehydrated and it needs more rich product.
I like rich.
Yeah, and it's a very serum-y jelly, a gel cream formula, which actually sometimes I'll put it on if I'm like going to go to the gym and I just want something light on my face, I'll use it then.
Yeah.
But I didn't love it, even though I know it's super popular, so lots of people did. But the Wrinkle Warrior Eye.
I love watching your face now each time you say Wrinkle Warrior.
Wrinkle Warrior. Wrinkle Warrior. I've not even had a drink yet.
We are in a brew cave as well.
We are in a brew cave. I love this. I really like it. It's a gel cream eye product. I'm going to put some in the back of my hand so Ms. Difficult Eyes can see it.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely gorgeous. Like, it's a really silky, serum-y texture. It absorbs right away. I've been using it for about 2 to 3 weeks, and I would genuinely, hand on heart, say I've seen improvement.
Yeah.
I've got less puffiness. I've started getting fine lines. I've got a couple of little afterlines. Don't have a ton. Don't know why. always laughing me. but I haven't got a ton of lines around my eyes, but I am starting to get dehydration and fine lines under my eyes, and this has definitely helped. And I'm really, really mega impressed.
That sounds like a great one with makeup, because I think the hardest thing for me with eye cream as makeup artist, I've got to be honest, on set or on shoots, I don't tend to use it that much unless I know I've got like an hour and a half with the person and I can pop it on while they're having their hair set.
No, I agree.
So the fact this like set, you know, goes in straight away, I think
right
is really
away.
Beneficial.
And also if your eye makeup does start to look a bit dry or it gathers underneath your eyes, I find popping a little bit on top.
Just to refresh.
The tiniest bit and tap it onto your ring finger and tap it over the top. Nice. And I think that refreshes nicely. Yeah. The texture really reminds me of the Estee Lauder Advanced Night Repair eye cream, which I really loved, and that's in a jar and this is in a pump.
I prefer a pump. I know it's bad, but I'm lazy at the best of times, and you know, I'm generally quite strict with my skincare. I've got it down, I know what I like, but for me I still tend to miss eye cream, and that's because I've got to open another little fiddly jar.
Also bad reason, pumps are airtight, it's going to last longer, it's going to deliver you, generally speaking, it's delivering the right amounts, so you're not overusing or underusing. There are so many positives and things that are better about using a pump. I've forgotten all my words. but there are so many advantages and benefits to using a pump over a jar, and this kills it. And we've talked about it before. I've never been a massive advocate for eye cream because I think a lot of eye creams are just regular moisturizers in a smaller, more expensive jar.
Or they
jar.
Take a really long time to... It's not like something you're going to see a visible difference.
No,
you
exactly.
Know, like a moisturizer or maybe a toner. You know, they take a while to actually have
effect. Using something like the Elemis Pro Collagen Marine Cream, which I usually am, that's my go-to moisturizer, you can take that up to the eye. You can use that in your orbital bone and around your under eye, and it's perfectly safe because it's a very light gel cream.
Yeah.
If you're using something really heavy, you need an eye cream, because if you put something heavy under your eyes, you'll get puffiness. But, and like you say, it'll be hard for makeup to sit. But this has won me over, and I'm really excited.
Nice.
Plus, it's supposed to look like a lady bullet. It's a little pink and silver bottle that's supposed designed to look like a massive bullet.
Almost looks like a giant pen, like something you would buy like at the zoo when you were a kid in the 90s.
The original moisturiser was designed to look like a hand grenade, apparently.
Oh,
we
so that's the theme.
We found out at the event.
The theme.
This was always less cool on, actually. The theme of... Wrinkle Warrior, which is why it's Warrior, is we're waging war on wrinkles.
They're testing you. That's too many W's in one sentence.
Waging war on wrinkles. Yes, definitely would recommend this. Definitely pick it up if you're in Sephora, which is where it is right now. Definitely check it out. And they do ship to the UK. For people who are worried about getting hold of Kate Somerville in England, Sephora does ship. And who knows when it will make it over to the UK. I keep hearing rumours and being told it's soon.
I keep hearing that at some point, because I could really imagine it in like a big beauty department, like in Selfridges or something like that. Yeah. So that would be
or
great to
Space
see
NK.
That.
I think because it's been bought out now, isn't it? It's owned by, is it Unilever?
I don't know.
But it's been bought by one of the big companies. Kate's still in charge, but it's backed by one of the big companies. So there's no reason for it not to be. No.
Well, maybe that'll be coming soon.
Yeah.
So the other product that I'm incredibly excited about, and Lindsay got to test this out before I did, is it's got one of those long names.
It's
got a long name. It is. I'm going to just like go for it. Uncomplicated SPF Soft Focus Makeup Setting Spray with Broad Spectrum SPF 50 Sunscreen.
You were so close.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to break it down what I think it is. It's basically a setting spray with SPF. That's kind of like in a nutshell what it is. And not only that, it's really bloody good.
It's really good.
A fine mist. There's no kind of sprays of little individual dots on your skin. It is quite literally a mist. It's SPF 50. It's not chalky. It still feels moisturizing.
It doesn't need rubbing in. It just
sets
so immediately.
Clever. Like, I didn't know I needed this till they made it.
It's Magic Mike in a can.
It's Magic Mike. It's unicorns in a can.
It's unicorns in a can.
So I feel like a lot of people, and also one thing that I was saying to Lindsay was I kind of expected this to be a lot more than it is, considering that Kate Somerville is a luxury brand, and it retails for $38. So, you know, if you are loving this and you use it every day, you probably are going to get through it quickly. Yeah. But I think it's nice that, yes, $38 is still expensive, but it's not, you know, the $200 moisturizer.
And also... it's sunscreen. And if you're going to invest in anything, there's no point spending $250 on a moisturizer and then not wearing sunscreen. Because if you think about how much aging and skin damage comes from sun
and we
exposure,
live in Los Angeles, so we have to take this
You've
seriously.
Got to think about sunscreen wherever you are now. It's the most important thing you can do, and the best thing you can do for your skin is protect it from the sun. And this is so easy to use. I've been using it on my boyfriend and he hates putting on sunscreen. Like, he just lobs it on his face the second before he leaves the house, so it's entirely pointless. Whereas with this, he will stand there and let me spray it on his face without causing any trouble. It would be great for kids. And I use spray sunscreens, but all the other sunscreens I have that are in aerosol cans, you have to rub it in.
Yeah. You know, and I would never use them like, I would never use them on top of makeup. I love the fact that, like, what is the USP of this for me is that I could be on a shoot and, you know, I do have that thing where I'm like, I've put some sun cream on underneath, but also you get flashback if it's really high SPF, which is troublesome sometimes. Yes. And, but also I don't want a model to burn if we're out in like a sunny shoot. I was in a shoot in Pasadena last week and everyone had sun cream on. And, you know, for me, we kept topping the model up, but obviously then I had to kind of reapply the makeup again and remove it round. Whereas this for me is just a really quick step that's easy, effective, and it doesn't affect the makeup.
And it's interesting you should mention that, because Kate told us at the event that all the products we talked about that day were inspired by makeup artists, because they went to talk to the makeup artists that they supply and work with, and they said, what do you want? And their one thing that they all said they wanted was a setting spray with high SPF that worked.
It's such a good idea.
I think it's interesting because it is being marketed as a makeup setting spray with SPF, whereas when we talked about it with Kate and with their VP of, I think it was the VP of product development, she was amazing and hilarious, and I want to get her on here because I loved her. But she talked about it very much as, we wanted to make a great spray on sunscreen.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the makeup setting part came afterwards.
Yeah. Because it is moisturizing. I'm wearing it now and I feel like it doesn't, you know, I'd been to the gym this morning and just had a shower and come straight to Lindsay's and forgotten to put moisturizer on. And I literally just kind of put some of that on in a lazy attempt to feel like I've done some skincare today.
Sweet.
And I feel moisturized. It feels really good.
It's got hyaluronic acid in. Looking at the press release, it's got hyaluronic acid in. And also it's got this, which it sounds like PR bluster, but it's light diffusing silicone powder to blur and soften the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles.
I'm down
but
with
it
that.
It does give you that soft
is.
Focus look.
And I think it's the mist. I love that it's a mist. It's
so
not
good.
Even a spray. It's I mean, they call it a setting spray, but it's a mist. Like,
I mentioned
it's
it
so
on
fine.
Instagram yesterday, and a bunch of people replied to it and said how great they like it too. So it's not just us. And also it sounds a bit like a
spray paint on your face. That's fun.
Which I love. Yeah, it makes me really happy. So that's
that.
A big recommend.
Yeah, that gets out. Like I said, I think that's probably going to end up being my highlight of the week because it's so good.
So we also have a bunch, an absolute bunch, that's a technical term, of new products from Urban Decay.
Quite a lot.
A MAC level of a lot.
Yes.
Like a lot of launches. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many people know this. I imagine a lot of people listening to this podcast already know that Urban Decay was bought out by L'Oreal a few years ago. So it seemed natural that they would shift from being exclusively makeup to taking advantage of some of L'Oreal's other arms of expertise. So it does make sense that Urban have started doing skincare. And I think the thing that they've done very well is they haven't just taken L'Oreal skincare and slapped an Urban Decay label on. They actually thought about, what does the Urban Decay customer want from their skincare and what are they going to use it from? So it's all about rehab, makeup prep, and then meltdown makeup remover.
Yeah.
And
we played with this in Vegas, didn't we?
We did.
Before
we
got sent it, actually.
Yeah,
we had a good play.
I'm a huge fan of several of the products. So there is a makeup meltdown makeup remover lip oil stick, which is designed to remove their liquid lips, which is genius because they are a nightmare to get off your face.
Yeah.
And then there's a lip love, which is basically a lip balm, but we're calling it lip love because and then there's also the rehab makeup prep things like you would be taking care after, but it's actually the prep step.
I like
how
that.
Interesting. there's a pretty gritty skin polish, which is a physical exfoliant. There's a pore refining peel, which is a peel off mask. I haven't tried those two yet because I've been trialing an acid peel from Lancome, which I may or may not talk about next time because I'm not sold yet.
Okay.
I'm not convinced.
To be confirmed.
or not. And then there's the Hot Springs Hydrating Gel, which actually I do love. I'm going to hand that over for you to try. And then the two products that I've tried the most, and they're not in this little box because they're upstairs on rotation, is the cleansing oil stick and the makeup removing spray.
Oh, I like the spray. I remember.
Spray
that
is
really
amazing.
Clever.
Now, it's entirely unnecessary.
Yes.
There is no way on this earth that you need a makeup removing spray. But it is a really handy thing to have if you are someone who likes their slap. If you're wearing a lot of makeup, if you're into the current Instagram look, if you like a really heavy base.
Yeah, you could use this to break it down.
You just three spritzers, and they say spray it onto cotton wool and then wipe it off, but where's the fun in that?
Yeah.
I like to spray it directly on my face and watch my entire face.
It's like
melt
Death
off.
Becomes Her.
Yes,
you can actually watch
like
your
Indiana
face
melt. Jones. It's like you've looked at the Ark of the Covenant. You are not ready for the glory of God, and your entire face has melted off, and it makes me really happy. I did it and then like ran into the bedroom and was like, Jeff, look! And he screamed like a woman, and it was magical.
Brilliant.
It was just like black and orange and all over my face. I did smear it a little bit.
Brilliant.
But it's really good. So yeah, that Urban Decay makeup removing spray, I really like. The oil stick, didn't love as much, but I don't get on that well with oil sticks, cleansing sticks. I do think they're a handy thing to have if you travel a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's a solid, so obviously it doesn't count into your liquids. But the removing spray I really loved. And I really like this hydrating gel that I've just handed
yeah,
to
no,
you.
Yeah, that feels really cooling, actually. I think especially if you had like redness in your skin, that would feel like a nice treat.
Yeah, and it does, makeup does sit on top of it really nicely.
Yeah,
it
feels very thin.
Yeah, but it does feel like you've had a shot of something. Yeah, so I like that's that nice. A lot, which is the... the hot springs hydrating gels. It's got water from hot springs in it.
Oh, fancy.
Hot springs, but it's cooling. What?
How do they do
it? It's madness. And then we moved on to, there's a perfume launch. Urban Decay brought out a perfume. Why not? It's a perfume oil. It's called Go Naked. It's inspired by their Naked line. It's only three notes. So it is lavender, orange blossom, and sea salt.
Oh.
And it's designed to smell like the warmth of your own skin.
Yeah, interesting.
It is interesting.
I like what Lindsay's boyfriend said. He described it in...
Yeah, I wore it yesterday. it says it's very subtle, and I didn't find it subtle.
It's got the feeling of like essential oils in it. Like yes. I feel like that it's nice in that the oils smell like a real oil. It doesn't smell like a fake oil.
No, it
smell.
Smells very genuine. And I
so
do
the
like
orange
it.
Blossom you can smell, and it smells like a genuine orange blossom oil, which is nice.
I put my arm out after I'd had it on for about an hour for Jeff to smell it, and I said, "Do you like this?" And he said, "It smells like I'm in a shop." He didn't clarify which shop,
yeah,
or where he might be, or whether or not he enjoyed the smell of that shop. Yeah. He just thought it smelled like a shop. Now, in fairness, I wear really light scents. So I wear like Coco Mademoiselle and Juliet Has a Gun, not a perfume. It's sexy.
It's got a bit
like
headier.
And I think it was just unusual for me. I think it's really interesting. It's a really tiny little rollable bottle, but I feel like it would last a while.
Yes.
Because it is very intense.
It looks a bit
tiny
like
bit.
What the Stila glitter shadows look like. It looks like the same kind of container as that.
Yeah.
So I like the rollable thing. I'm always down for a rollable. I like that it is perfume oil. For me, I think I kind of, again, scent is so personal. I kind of feel a little bit indifferent about this. I don't dislike it, but it doesn't make me super excited, if I'm honest.
Fair.
There's other things I love more from Urban Decay.
I'm interested to see if this is something they're going to do more of.
Yeah.
But definitely give it a whiff. Give it a try. And I want to see more. I want to see more Urban Decay.
Let's see what comes next.
Yeah, because your next launch that we're going to talk about, because that's all we're going to talk about today, is Urban Decay launches, is actual makeup. Urban Decay are launching a contour and color correct highlight palette. And it's called the Naked Skin Shapeshifter. So there's two options. There is a light medium shift and a dark medium shift. Each palette includes two contouring powder shades, two dark contouring powder shades. There's a medium, a dark, and a light. And then there's a pearl highlighter powder. And then there is a pearl highlighter cream, a color correcting highlighter cream, a under eye color correcting highlighter cream, a light contour cream, and a dark contour cream.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot in there.
So you get a lot for your money.
Nine shades in each palette. Yeah. Four powders, five creams. I'd looked at the light medium palette, which obviously would be best for my skin because I'm extraordinarily pale. I really love the pearl highlight powder. I think that's beautiful. And I did, after slathering it all up and down my arm, I think the dark contour cream, which I don't use contour creams, full disclosure, it is a good shade match for me.
Yeah.
So I think the shade matches in this are good. And also the color corrector cream, which is the peachy color for under eye circles, is a really good tone and perfect for my skin. So I think if I was super into contouring, I would love this.
Yeah.
I'm not. So it's hard to say. But
I'm the same. I kind of feel like it's hard to judge. It's not the kind of product I'd probably reach for in my kit because I know which tones. Like we said, I use one product to contour. And yes, I will choose a deeper tone, if I'm going for a darker skin tone, and lighter, it's a light skin tone. But I think a lot of people this will really appeal to, especially makeup lovers who love to kind of play with sculpt and highlight, who want to kind of go full on with the color correcting and, you know, addressing pigmentation issues. I definitely think there will be some people who really love this.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a sellout for
sure. I think it will be like a really successful launch. I just think it's one of those things that if you are into very natural makeup, this may overcomplicate it for you a little bit. It may be a bit intimidating.
But if you want to play, it's a good place to start.
Yes, definitely.
Because it's all in, it's all there.
Yeah. So, and it's quite a weighty product. I feel like you get a lot for your money.
It's a nice gift, I think. Yeah. If you know someone wants to start contouring, or if you know someone loves to contour, it is quite a nice little gift because the packaging is lovely, actually.
Really cute. Yeah.
I'm not that we're all about the packaging, but I am. But it's got a really pretty pearlized, marbleized box, which is really lovely. And then there's this little tiny bit of hollow.
And I think the other thing that's nice with palettes like this is I like it when they do a palette like this where you can fully. What was I going to say then? Swipe your brush? I was going to say dunk, but I was like, that sounds a bit intimidating. When you dunk your brush into the pan, the pans are nice and big. And I think that's good as well. Like, you get a lot for your money and the size of the pans is good. So you're not going to have that thing where you swish your brush and get three different colours.
And there's a huge two-sided mirror inside.
Yeah.
So that's very really handy as well. And there is a light version and a dark version. And the shades in the medium dark are dark.
Yeah.
So it's genuinely going to appeal to a lot of skin tones, which is really nice to see.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that.
Well done, Urban Decay.
Well done, Urban Decay. And there are three other products in the launch. Well, there's four if you include the brush. There's a brush. It's like a perfectly nice brush.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rush out to buy it.
No.
If you need a fan brush, it's a double-ended brush. And I'm always like... Yeah.
I think if you're into cruelty-free makeup, they do quite good cruelty-free makeup brushes.
Well, I just think because... Double-ended stress me out because I don't know how to store it. Because if I store it at the end with the brush on the end, that bit's going to get dirty and you can't store it on the fan end. But anyway, that's me and my double-ended brush dramas. But the three other products. The first one is the Naked Skin Illuminizer, which is a pressed powder. And at first I was really excited because I love the Afterglow highlighters and blushes. I love. So I was like, oh, a new Afterglow highlighter that's going to be badass and amazing. And then it was actually really subtle and it made me sad.
Yeah.
And then Difficult Eyes pointed out that it's not a highlighter.
I think it's more of a setting powder. It doesn't look like a highlighter. I mean, no. I'm not sure if that's how they want it to be marketed, but...
I just wanted it to be so badly.
You wanted Sexy Robot, didn't you?
I wanted Sexy Robot.
Yeah. It's not happening, not with this product.
The press release actually says, show up with a sophisticated glow every day. Like the name suggests, this translucent pressed beauty powder instantly illuminates, giving skin a radiant look that's damn pretty. So yeah, it's a translucent powder
and it's probably more along the lines of like the hourglass sort of dim light, you know, that kind of thing, which is nice. So if you like a dewy skin, it's not going to take away your dewiness, which is nice.
And it's a universal, it says universal shade, but on me, who's very fair, it's spot on.
Yeah.
So I loved it. I don't know how it would be on darker skins because it's very fair.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely more finely milled, but the one that's in the purple container, that one for me is a win. That one, again, I think the premise with this launch is that they're implying you can kind of mix things together. So yes. I know that the, what was it called,
this
Lindsay? The Velvetizer.
The Velvetizer. You can tell because it's got velvet on the
sticker. It's got a velvet packaging, which is like a loose powder. And the texture of this is incredibly finely milled.
Really,
like it literally disappears in a way that you still feel the mattifying effect, but there's no trace of product. So for me as a makeup artist, love this. I think I'd be using this a lot in my pro kit. I think it'll be a really effective makeup product.
Yeah.
But they say that you can mix it into your foundation, which I'm not sure I would do.
The original concept for this, or the idea behind it, is that I'm going to again read from the press release because someone's put a lot of effort into this.
Yeah, we're respecting that.
For an extra blown out finish, mix a dime sized, 5p, dime sized.
I still didn't know what a dime was.
Yeah,
okay,
like
now
a 5p.
I know.
It's like a 5p, but it's 10 cents.
Okay, good to know.
I think. Nickel and I don't know. It's a little one. For an extra blown out finish, mix a dime size. I've lived here for nearly 8 years and I don't know. That's really
I've only
bad.
Been here 6 months, so
oh,
you
God,
should know.
Shame. Anyway, for an extra blown out finish, mix a dime sized amount of this translucent mix-in medium into a Naked Skin liquid makeup or a Naked Skin one and done to create an extra velvety feel, a beautiful matte finish and added coverage. And then they say it doubles as a finishing powder. I think it's an exceptional finishing powder.
Yeah, it's exceptional.
Like Laura Mercier level good
I think
finishing
it might
powder.
Even be... I'm really interested to have a play with this in my kit. Yeah, it's so fine.
Blow your mind crazy, crazy fine. I absolutely love it. I'm not sure about mixing it into my foundation.
Well, and I also think if you're going to sell something that it is also a setting powder, what's the point of mixing it into your foundation first and then using it?
I'm just too lazy. I feel like I do it three times, then be like, I don't want to shake it out, mix it in.
And a loose powder is always more messy. So for me, I'm happy to use it as like a setting powder in the morning, and then throughout the day, I might just top up with like a pressed powder.
How are you going to do it? You're going to shake it out into the lid and then mix it into your foundation on the back of your hand. It's going to be a messy process.
It sounds messy.
So what are we looking at on the Velvetizer? $34.
That's not too bad. I feel like you get a good size pot. Yeah. I think you'd have a lot in there. It'd be nice for setting under the eyes as well. It'd be a really nice setting concealer.
And then there's Liquid Aura Illuminating Mix in Medium, which is a basically exactly that. It's a liquid that you mix into your foundation to make it more illuminating or dewy. I'm gonna call this one a pass.
Yeah, for me this is a pass. I feel like the bottle actually makes it look a little bit more iridescent than it actually is. The product inside is not as sheeny as the outside of the bottle.
It's a very, 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 very subtle effect. And I think that's something that Cover FX just is
blown out the water.
Blown it out the water. If you love Urban Decay that much, then go for your life. But I think it's just very...
There's better things.
Yeah, and I already think the Naked Skin foundations, the One and Done and the foundation, they're very dewy as it is. I wouldn't think you'd need to add anything.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
But I would definitely pick one of the Cover FX. Also, the Cover FX has like 8 shades now, I think, at least. So I would definitely pass on that at $32.
Yeah.
And spend your money on the Velvetizer.
Go for the Velvetizer. That is the win. Yeah.
Yeah. And the palettes are... Actually, I think this is a really reasonable price, $45.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive for how much product you get.
5 creams and 4 powders.
Yeah.
I think $45 is really
good.
That's
very impressive.
I thought it would be more than
that. I thought it was going to be more than that.
So all in all, there's a lot of wins there.
Yeah, there's a lot of wins. A lot of exciting new launches.
Very excited.
So that is a roundup of new news. We had a lot of new news there. I hope you guys are still with us. Today we wanted to talk about things we've learned from our mothers regarding beauty and the world of beauty. It has been Mother's Day already in England, but now we live in America and it is actually Mother's Day this Sunday.
It's curious because Father's Day is the same day, but Mother's Day is after.
Interesting. Mm. Well, and we were just chatting about it and I was saying, you know, it's one of those things that I think everyone... In theory, it's one of those questions where, like, what did you learn from your mum with regards to, you know, doing your makeup or your skincare? Yeah. And I know some mums are very into passing down knowledge. Some mums, you know, I think kids now almost give the mums the knowledge,
like really sort of educate them. When that happens.
But was there something that your mum taught you, Lindsay, that you feel like you've?
It's so weird. So. I like put it on the table because I always make people feel awkward and weird about it. But my mum passed away about 2.5 years ago now. So when I talk about my mum, it's always in, you know, with the thought that she's not with us anymore and anything. Yeah. And that was a really hard thing when she did pass away, to know that everything you've learned from her, that's a finite thing.
Yeah.
And I think you'd never think about your parents in that way until that happens, that their knowledge to you. There is going to be an end to it. It's a finite resource.
Yeah.
And there are so many things that I wish I'd asked her about everything in life, but even about skincare and about beauty, because they're some of my really happy memories from growing up, is sharing that as a mother and daughter. And also with my aunt, who's my mom's sister, she was such a glamour puss when she was younger. Underused phrase, gonna use it more. And both my grandmothers, who both passed away within 6 months of my mom passing away. Aww. She was just selfish, universe. But they were both far more into their skincare than my mum was. So I learned a lot from those four women. My aunt's still with us. I should mention that. She's going to be listening to this going, oi, kelk. But yeah, I think the thing, my mum wasn't super into makeup. She had eczema and really dry skin. So she just never really bothered. When I was really little, she would always get the Avon book. And I don't even remember her. Like, she would get stuff and never use it. All she would have would be, like, disgusting frosted lipsticks. Like
frosted
a drawer.
Lipstick.
She had the middle drawer.
Memories.
And now I'm like, oh, I could go for that. She spent a fortune on a Smashbox liquid metal liquid lip, which is basically just a frosted lipstick. But yeah, I remember that it was the second drawer in her bedside table. It had, like, a little wicker basket full of mostly used up lipsticks. And it was all this nasty frosted fuchsia or really icy pink. So the first thing I learned was don't do that. but yes, she was quite into her skincare in the 80s. She had a lot of Oriflame.
Oh,
what's
Avon
Oriflame. Oh. It was a brand at Avon that were these little like pale pink egg-shaped bottles.
See, I should know because my mum worked for Avon.
Oh, there you go.
We
ask your mum about Oriflame.
Yeah, I'm going
to. So it was like the epitome of glamour. They were pale pink, millennial pink, if you will, with like silver detailing and silver writing on them. And I just remember thinking they looked so exciting and I wasn't allowed to touch them. The only makeup I was allowed and skincare I was allowed when I was little, because I was obsessed with it, which was so weird because my mom wasn't interested. I had the Tinkerbell lip balm and Tinkerbell peel off nail varnish.
Wow.
And I thought I was the...
Yes.
Like, I really thought I was
the bomb.com.
Yeah, I thought I had everything going on with my peel off nail polish and my little tinted lip balm. I guess actually the main thing that she taught me out of all of this is... to not overdo it.
Yeah.
And the importance of not having to wear makeup. Because she didn't. So I didn't grow up with someone who made me feel self-conscious or weird or forced stuff on me at all. Because my mom didn't wear it. And she also had short hair. So it was an interesting thing now to be someone who loves makeup and is like obsessed with messing around with her own hair.
Yeah.
That I lived in a house where the alternative to that was shown every day.
Yeah.
So I was so aware of that choice.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of women don't know that. Like, there's so much pressure.
Yeah.
And to actually, maybe that was a huge relief somewhere in the back of my mind to know that you don't have to look like that. And there are actually other options.
That's such a nice thing to take away.
What about you? Sorry. I'm like, and I'm literally now sat here going like, oh, yeah, my aunt used to paint her nails, blah, blah, blah. My aunt did teach me that you couldn't touch anything with your nails for like 2 hours at a time. And
that was a good lesson.
Forget that.
I was so bad at that.
Oh, I hated it.
I think the weirdest thing was I was actually a tomboy when I was little, like a real tomboy. Like, I remember I loved sports and I played tennis loads. So I just lived in trainers and probably had like really smelly feet and was generally sweaty and gross.
I
came today from spinning. So LA. But I think I still remember from a young age, my mum having like a little tiny dressing room and she had all the, do you remember the black and gold Chanel bottles, the plastic square ones?
My aunt had some of those.
Yeah. And I love, even though I kind of didn't really knew what they were and they smelled really strong, but I was like, I just like the packaging. I always had that kind of fascination with things, and if I'm honest, I don't think I really started to even like ask her that kind of stuff till later on in life, because I was a tomboy till a good sort of age 11, I think, 11, 12, and then it kind of went like, I have a lot of respect for my mom in that she totally let me go through what I like to call my experimental makeup
your mom's
phases.
Your mom's
She's a dude in that, you know, I remember when I did find makeup, it was so extreme and not even in like an Instagram contoured way. It was like, I'm going to put silver glitter on my eyes and then a gluey blue gel. And I just sort of, I think half of it was the fun of putting it on. From a really young age, I knew that I loved putting it on, even if it looked terrible, which it clearly did. And I had two pieces of hair gelled in front of my face. Yeah, I just experimented beyond belief. Like, you remember Shout magazine, you'd get a free horrible blusher that many times I dropped on the carpet or a rug and then would turn the rug over because I just couldn't get it out the rug. Sorry, mum.
High pigment.
Yes.
Great payoff.
But I think when I look back, the one thing I do remember my mum saying, and I don't think it was ever like a, we need to talk. Yeah. Like, it was never like a sit down, but she was like, just cleanse, tone and moisturize. And I remember even like from like 11, 12 year old, her getting us like Garnier toner and cleanser. And it just feeling like I was even aware that it felt a nice thing to do for myself. And it kind of like started the day and ended the day, like washing and cleaning my face, which yes, okay, most kids hopefully wash their faces. But my husband didn't till about 10 years.
Yeah, as we've established, Jeff the same. I had to explain to Jeff quite recently what face wash was. And I had to tell him it was shower gel for your face.
Yes, I've done the same with Dave. babe, it's fine. But yeah, I think that was in terms of an actual practical step.
Yes.
She did kind of say, you know, just cleanse, tone, moisturize, don't worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Take my makeup off. And again, I think, you know, she let me have my bad makeup phases.
Yes, because, which is important.
Yeah. And there was no kind of like, oh my God, you look all, you know, she, I mean, bless her. Like she, you know, if I asked a question, she'd be like, oh, maybe you could do it like this. But it was, you know, she knew I had to go through that phase in order to be like, you know, and I would see, and this was obviously before like retouching was the way it is now, you know, I'd look at magazines and be like, how did they do that? Like I'd really try to like, and then it did become an interest actually, you know, led to becoming a makeup artist. But it's funny that I, you know, I had to have my really bad makeup phase, and I have a lot of love for my mum for being patient and being like, I'm sure she'll grow out of it. But you know, there was never any like, God, you look awful, which I think her face might have said it,
mine
even if she
too,
was like, you look nice.
When I was very little and I was like 10, 11 and I started being like, Mom, I want these things. And she's like, well, you're not having them. And it was entirely because I was obsessed with my aunt. I was so in love with her. And she was so 80s glam. So it's all pink and blue eyeshadows faded into each other. Yeah. And she always had killer nails and she always had her curlers in. And she did used to go to those aerobics classes. And somewhere I've got a photo of her in like...
Amazing, the proper 80s
leotard with the like pale pink leggings and the baby blue suit over the top. And she was incredible.
Yeah.
But I just wanted it so badly. And I remember after I'd asked my... I begged and begged and begged and begged. And my mom was like, you're not having it. You're too young. And then for Christmas, she bought me a number 7 palette.
Oh, I bet that was well exciting.
Oh, my goodness. It was like the most exciting day of my whole life. But she kept it in her room. I wasn't allowed it.
Oh.
And I'd be like, I want it so bad.
It's torture.
Yeah. And she would only let me wear it like on special occasions. And she would only let me wear certain shades out of it. Because once in a blue moon, I'd be allowed it. And I would just come back with like... black eyes and clown cheeks, and I'd be like, hey mom, and she'd be like, just go upstairs and wash your face.
There's the flannel.
So she kept it at a safe distance, but I do think that just made me want it more. I was just so obsessed. And then I did the same thing when I got in the sixth form, and I was listening to Kinnicky non-stop, and I had my silver eyeliner.
Yep.
And Rimmel did the special line, I think it was called R2, I want to say, but I might be making that up. But they did like a youth line that was a bit more trend driven, and it was like I just really remember one of the products was called Romeo and Juliet, and it was an eye duo, but it was like blue, peacock blue, and then gold, and it was horrible. And I obsessively wore it, and I wore their silver eyeliner, and then I saved up and got the gold one that looked terrible on me, and that's how I learned I was cool toned.
It's so weird, isn't it? Because I was thinking about like, you know, when I actually started doing my makeup, because even the way like wearing a flick now, I think I've worn it like that since I was like 14, and I don't
That's
know I don't know where that started. I'm
when
trying
I was
to think
14
about it,
I was still wearing Constance Carole
roll-on
lip balm,
and then I never wore any foundation. I never wore foundation. I just literally wore like a flick. And I don't even know if I wore mascara when I was really little, but...
I did wear mascara. It was all... And I wore it all over my
face. I think I wore clear mascara. I thought, like, that was really cool.
I had clear brow gel. I did all my mascara because I was just dodgy, cheap market makeup.
Yeah, same here.
Smeared all over your face. It was no good. I just think... I look at kids now who...
They're spoiled.
Yeah, my cousins who are, like, 14 and 15, and they look like goddesses. And I just, like...
You're all Instagram babes. It's not fair. You need to go through a bad phase.
Go and buy some orange blusher and... some manky. I remember in the mid 90s, and I was far too young, and I was reading all these magazines, and the nude lip was in
with
like
the dark lip liner.
It was just the nude lip at the time, just the very very bare face
concealer
Kate
lip.
Moss type thing. So I was like, I want that lipstick. So I saved up my pocket money, and we had a little shop in the village that sold bits and pieces, and they had one, and it was collection 2000, I think. And I was like, I'm gonna get that, and I went and bought it. And I was so proud of myself. And that was the dodgy shop where I bought all my sketchy stuff with my pocket money. And I daubed it over my face and my lips disappeared. And I looked ridiculous because it was concealer. It wasn't lipstick. It was a concealer. But I thought I looked incredible.
Yes. Fashion forward.
Never left the house.
No.
Obviously.
Well, I remember the dark lip pencil coming in the late 90s with the concealer. And I remember
this was
seeing...
like 95, 94.
Well, I'm going to use the word snog right now because snog. I remember at a disco, there was a girl kissing a boy, and bless his heart, he had like dark lip pencil all over his face. I think it was like Laval cheap knockoff.
The Body Shop one I remember being really good. Yeah. But my mum was very good at, once I got old enough, it was kind of like, okay, if you want to go to school looking like that,
yeah,
go crazy.
Yeah.
And my grandmother, I will say, was very good at teaching me about my skin. Both my grandmothers were very into their skincare. And then I had one who was very much old school glamour. She always wore Lancôme makeup and all her makeup with skin and skincare were all Lancôme.
Yeah.
And she took very careful, she went to the salon every week and got her hair done. Wow. And I genuinely believed she was naturally had jet black hair right up until she was in her 70s. And then my granddad got sick and she couldn't go to the hospital one week. And I was like, Dad, Nana's hair's gone grey overnight. And I had to take me to one side and go, Lindsay, think about yourself. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't know. She said, that hot brush was never not plugged in. That's what I learned from Nana Gail.
Love it.
The hot brush, prop brush was never not on. The house always smelled like hairdressers.
Yeah.
But yeah, my mom was very much leave it. She just wasn't interested. And she just never really was. She would just do lipstick at best. She never put anything on her eyes. But I think that's so interesting now. So how that's going to reflect in our friends' kids.
Yeah.
And in kids that are growing up now, because are they going to feel more pressure? Are parents going to feel pressure to show their kids how to do it properly? Are they going to feel like they need to let them make mistakes? Mm. Are they going to stop them having access to it? It's going to be like mobile phones.
Does they draw the line?
You can and can't do this.
I think, we were saying, when you kind of go over the top with your makeup in your teenage years, it looks bad. Generally, it looks bad.
But I think that should be made to
happen. And that's the thing. I look back and it's more like, oh, bless. It's not like, wow, she looks hot. Whereas I know now when I see, friends with their children, children that are coming into their teens and they fully have GHDs. Yeah. And I mean, the problem is as well, it's all within, what's the word? I think the fact is we knew different and they've never known any different.
They've never known different.
Yeah.
My friend has, her niece is, she must be 4 or 5 now, but she is a wannabe beauty blogger /vlogger.
Yeah.
At 4 or 5.
Brilliant.
And she's very little and her makeup skills are likely better than mine.
It's crazy.
And it terrifies me. And my friend was very much, she was like, no, you can't do this. You're too young. And she would film stuff on her phone and just show it on her phone. But she's already I want a YouTube channel, because she knows what it is and she wants it. And she wants all the makeup that she sees because she's already seeing it.
Yeah.
And I just think I wanted it, but I didn't have access to the knowledge or to the media that, I just saw my aunt doing it and wanted to do it like my aunt. But if I'd had YouTube or I'd had as many magazines and things, I would have gone bonkers.
Yeah.
And I just think it's going to be so much harder now. And you've got so much obligation and responsibility to teach your kids both how to do it and to teach them that it's not expected of them and that it's a
exactly. It's like you can wear makeup, but also you don't have to wear makeup either. Yeah.
And it's not whatever society tells you you should be doing. Completely. That's not a thing. And it's don't do this just because everyone else is telling you that you should, or you feel that you should only do what you feel passionate about doing. I think that's going to be so hard to teach today's kids.
All we can do is try.
All we can do is try. Says me, who's just spent 20 minutes talking about an Urban Decay cover up palette.
Hashtag enabler.
It's dead good though. But don't feel like you've got to. But it's dead good.
But it's dead good though.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting topic.
And what do you guys think? What did you learn from your mums? Do you feel like it's so much different nowadays compared to when you were growing up? Because I mean, it is. It just, like I said, the fact I'm a YouTuber, I never realised as a makeup artist, YouTube was something I would go into.
Yeah.
And I still really enjoy it, but it wasn't planned. It kind of just happened. So I think it's time for highlight of the week. Lindsay, what is your highlight?
Highlight of the week.
Someone's got to pretend to do
it. I wanted to Grease, where it's bing, bong, bing. Bing bong, we should bing, get bong, one of the little bong, xylophone. Bing, bong,
bong. Yes. Oh, that was brownie bells. I don't know what happened there. Sometimes things just come at you. So highlight of the week, I think there was one thing that we wanted to both mention, which is this is not a new product, although they have been some brand extensions. I still haven't managed to get my dirty mitts on them. I was doing my makeup this morning. I'm just doing it is and then not tell you. I was doing my makeup this morning and I grabbed my Hourglass Ambient Blush in Ethereal Glow and I put it on and it made me so happy. It was such a cheerer upper.
Yeah.
It was one of those products that makes you just go, oh, because it just pops and it's so pretty. I have Ethereal Glow, which is the bluish pink with sort of a...
You've nearly hit pan,
I've
Lindsay.
Nearly hit pan and I'm very excited about that because I never hit pan because I'm such a product whore. But I love this. It's genuinely, I think, my favorite ever blusher. It is the perfect shade on my skin for whatever makeup else I'm wearing. I will always... If I don't know what else to do or I'm not trying something else, this will be my go-to. It's such a perfect, pale, pretty pink. For fair skin tones, I could not love it more. It always looks natural. It never needs any special work or terrible blending. It just always looks
fail safe. Agreed.
Everything I love about it. It's obviously so a spendy product. I know that. But there's a really great mirror in the lid, which is always handy. There is a decent amount of product in
it. I mean, mine have lost, you know, I have the Trio palette in my Pro Kit and it gets so much use and it's still going strong. And sometimes I swish the products together. Sometimes you use them individually. And I feel like you always get that nice, like you said, a subtle, subtle sheen to the skin. Yes. It never looks flat. And I think that's what's so good about them.
It's genuinely a my face, but better product.
Yeah,
and I was looking, I had a million things to talk about this week. And I just thought, you know, this is the one thing that I've picked up in such a long time that's made me smile.
Yeah.
And I've been using it so much. It would be terrible not to use it, not to mention it. So thanks, Hourglass. You are our highlight of the week.
Highlight of the week.
What are you picking this week as your one?
Well, that was our joint one.
That was our joint one.
I'm torn. I want to say the Kate Somerville one because I love it, but I will highlight another product because we have given that a lot of love, the Kate Somerville. So one that is a, I believe they're a British company, I will correct it in the notes if I'm wrong, is Arc Skincare, and this is their Skin Essential Skin Protector SPF 30 Primer. A lot of love for SPF today. I feel like since I've lived in LA, I've really upped my game with SPF because I do know it's my skin needs more hydration and I'm spending more time in the sun than maybe I realized I would, which sounds silly when
you're even being in the car, the sun's getting you.
Yes. So this is lovely. It's formulated for all ages. And what I love about this is no chalky whiteness.
Ooh.
It's like a smooth, have a play, Miss Kelk. It's very, it's very thin in consistency. And as the name would suggest, it's a primer. So it helps longevity of your makeup. But I find what's nice about this is it doesn't interfere with whatever foundation you're using. So you can use a matte foundation and it will stay matte. You can use a dewy foundation and it will stay dewy.
I really like
It doesn't really like add anything extra other than do its job really well. And you've got SPF 30. And my experiences with primers, when they start adding a lot of SPF, particularly when it's a cream, you do start to get that kind of chalky white layer that you have to really work in.
Yeah.
And this just seamlessly blends into the skin. So that for me is my highlight of the week. And it has natural ingredients as well, free from parabens, lanolin, mineral oil, etc. So a lot of the nasties are taken out, which is nice. And again, I don't think this is, you know, it's not like a mainstream brand, so it's nice to give a bit of love to bespoke brands that are doing things
like that a lot.
Very well.
When I first pumped it out, I thought it was going to, because it's so white, it's
yeah.
so opaque white, but it spreads like a dream and it's absolutely nothing on my hand now and
completely
it smells
disappears.
Lovely. I love that. I'm definitely going to get myself some of that. Same. I had so many things to talk about and I can't choose one because I'm a nightmare. While we're just SPF's, another honorable mention, La Roche-Posay, I was in the desert for 4 days and I hammered the Anthelios XL 50 plus ultralight lotion. Had it
I love this
all
as
over
well.
Me chops every day.
Yeah.
Didn't burn. I would put that on in the morning under my makeup and then I would use the Kate Somerville
to
throughout the
up.
Day to
so
top up.
So clever.
And I did not, I mean, you can see. You
There's
can
no
see.
Burning.
Ain't no burn.
Nope.
Ain't no
She's
burn.
Still ivory pale.
Ivory pale.
But Casper working
like.
It.
Casper-like, if you will. Yeah, and I love that so much. And I did notice they've just brought out, you know, the Efferclar range that they do for acne-prone skin. There's an SPF there now.
Amazing. That's such good news because I love that range.
Yeah. Have you used the BB cream, the blur cream?
No, but I mean, the Efferclar Duo like Plus that. Is one that I really recommend to a lot of models, you know, especially if they have scarring from acne.
Yeah.
It really is one of those products that is almost... It's underpriced for what it does. Like,
yes,
it's such
yeah.
a good value product. So,
agreed.
Lot of love for La Roche-Posay.
Do you check out that BB cream that's I got blur
do.
In it? I'm interested. Okay. It's a bit too warm for me.
Okay,
but
I'll
I
give
think
it a go.
You might love it because I love the finish of it. But it's
enable me.
Anyway, yes. But my actual highlight of the week. I said earlier I wouldn't review the Kate Somerville face cream that was $250 until I knew for sure it was worth $250 to me.
Yes.
So... take that in mind when I about to recommend a really spendy dry shampoo, because we all know dry shampoo can be bought for pennies in supermarket, 3 for 2 Batiste, quid a bottle, whatever. And that's usually what I use. I love a bit of Batiste. I always stock up when I'm at home because you can get it here now, but it's like $10 instead of
£3. I haven't actually looked how
it's
much it
is coming
here.
Down, but it's still pricey.
I
was given this by a PR, so full disclosure, it's the Moroccan oil dry shampoo for light tones. It says it's soft, silky feel, enhances blonde tones. Now, I was like, dry shampoo is dry shampoo. They've just given it the Moroccan oil scent, put it in a nice can, and I'm not really, you know, that'll be all it is. So I didn't even try it at first.
Yeah.
And then I ran out and I had it with me. I was like, okay, give it a shot. It's nearly all gone.
That's you can't impressive. Tell.
I'm shaking it at the microphone. It's telling you nothing.
You forget when we podcast.
Just like shaking it with a really proud look on my face going, look. Just so you know, give you a visual. It's so good. They have a brown hair version too. But the light tones, which is what I've been using because I'm currently blonde and pink and blonde. It's so good because not only is it a really effective dry shampoo that does work. It doesn't do that thing where it just masks the oil. It makes your hair feel clean.
Yeah.
And I was in the desert 4 days and I took this with me and I only washed my hair once.
Whoop.
Because I was using this on the roots and then I used the Bumble and Bumble, the new dry oil.
Ooh, amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Dry oil end spray, on the ends and just didn't need to wash my hair for 4 days. And it was pretty magical. Let me tell you. So it genuinely works as a dry shampoo. There is a helicopter above. I don't know if they're coming from Moroccan oil to correct me while I talk about this. It's possible. But it's also got the colour of it. It's actually a lilac. It's actually a purple coloured
product.
Which
is very clever.
Which is so clever. So it eliminates brassy tones. When you spray it through blonde hair, it makes it look blonder.
So clever.
It's genius. And yeah. I'm sure lots of people are doing this. And maybe this is just the first time I've seen one that does it and does it well.
It's the first time I've seen it.
Yay.
Woo.
But it's just so good. And yep. I know it's more expensive than your average dry shampoo. And I'm not saying everyone should run out and buy it tomorrow. But if you're looking to spend a bit of money, treat yourself. If you use dry shampoo a lot, and if you're blonde and you find that your blonde gets brassy, this is definitely such a good option.
Yeah.
It cleans your hair. It doesn't leave a residue in there. It doesn't make it feel dry. It doesn't make it feel like there's buildup. It just makes it feel clean and fresh. The scent of it is really pretty. And the lavender, violet, purple. I'm using every possible word for purple.
Yeah. It's very subtle.
It's very subtle. Yeah. It doesn't make your hair purple. You can't spray
your hair
purple.
It's the way like a toner would make your hair blonder. Yeah. So that's it from us for this week. We'd love it if you would give us some ratings and feel free to give us some stars. That'd be amazing.
I'd especially like 5 stars.
I would really love 5 stars. If you wouldn't mind. I'm not going to lie. That would be lovely.
If you love us at all or even just find us mildly entertaining.
Please.
It
some
would
stars.
Make us so happy.
Yeah. So you can find us on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're also in SoundCloud. We're pretty much everywhere. So go check it out and share the love. Share the podcast love.
Please do. And of course, you can find us, as always, on all the usual social media channels. So I'd say we're most often on Twitter. And you can find us at Harry Makes It Up and at Lindsay Kelk or at Full Coverage Pod. We'd love to hear your questions, get caught up on the conversation. If you want to chat to us about the products that remind you of your mums and your nans,
let us know.
We'd love to have a chat about that.
But I think that's a wrap, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you soon in another fortnight for the next episode.
Of
Full Coverage.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.